Okay, good afternoon, everyone. It's always a little bit dangerous to predict optimistic outcomes around here, but let me do it anyway and say that I think Senator Reid and I have basically agreed to the parameters of a tax extender package that can pass the Senate on a bipartisan basis. Among the elements will be the very important Ensign Cantwell measure, which Senator Ensign can describe shortly, as well as an extender package that meets, in large measure, the principles of my conference. So I'm optimistic that we're going to be able to come together and do pass a very important piece of legislation here in the next week or two. With that, let me turn to Senator Kyle.
You want to have John?
Yeah,
well,
John,
The renewable energy part of the agreement is basically taking the Ensign Cantwell package. We plussed it up just a little bit. Solar will be 8 years. The wind and geothermal will be 1 year. We also do the home solar tax credit. We take the cap off of that. So if somebody wants to put solar energy panels on their home right now, there's really not the financial incentive to do that. We take the cap off that. We extend it for 2 years. And so there'll be a great incentive out there to actually add solar energy to individual houses across the United States. We're very proud of this package. We think it's a great bipartisan bill. I want to thank both leaders, as well as Senator Baucus and Grassley, for working with us over the last several days. Excited about this package, finally getting it done and across the finish line this year. It's that part of the energy package that is bipartisan, and we need to take what we can do on energy, get it done in a bipartisan way this year.
Last week, we discussed the item that's probably number one on America's mind right now, and that is the continuing problem of having to pay for extraordinarily costly energy, particularly at the gas pump, but looming in the colder states, how they're going to heat their homes this winter, and what it's doing to the rest of our economy. I think it's fair to say that over the last several weeks, a consensus has developed in America that we need more American energy production for America. The word drill has now become part of the lexicon. And in the last week, I think we've even seen movement here in the Congress. Now, last week I said that Republicans, of course, were for real solutions, real energy production, so that we could actually be producing more oil and natural gas. And I warned that it could happen that on the other side, bills would be brought forth that appeared to provide for more production, but in effect would provide cover for Democrats who weren't really for more drilling, but would never get energy to us. And what I'm saying today is that it appears that the Democratic leadership in the House and perhaps in the Senate are beginning to move much more toward the idea that they really have to show that they want energy production. I simply urge caution that in evaluating the different proposals that are out there, it is still important to determine whether or not it is real, that is to say, it's for go or it's just for show, that there are still impediments. And just a couple of things to look for. If there's no incentive for production for a state to allow a drilling off its shore, that may be a sign that it's not real, that it's just being done for show. If it's so far offshore that you're in the real deep waters now and you can't get to the oil or gas that may be beneath the floor, that is another indication that there may be a problem. If there are poison pills in the legislation that mean you can have this, but only if you take this other provision, then that might be a sign that it's only for show, not for go. So as we evaluate these different proposals, two quick points. The consensus has evolved clearly towards supporting more American energy for America. The thing that we need to be very careful of is to be sure that the provisions we actually vote on will do some good, will actually produce oil and gas, and not simply be a cover vote.
There are many competing messages at the end of the session, but the Republican message on energy has been front and center since July, and the country has been coming our way. I just want to remind you that in July, we said, 44 of us, find more American energy and use less of it. We proposed drilling offshore, using oil shale, supporting electric cars, dealing with speculation. That was our proposal then. That's our proposal today. We have 44 votes for that. And that piece of legislation can pass anytime we have 16 Democrat votes to go with it. And I'm sure Senator Hutchison will have more to say about this in a personal way. But the gasoline price spike that we see today wouldn't be going as high if we were producing more American oil and if we were doing it somewhere other than the Gulf of Mexico. If we were drilling for oil all around our country and if we were importing less oil, we would have more oil, and that would mean the price of gasoline today and tomorrow and next week, while the refineries are coming back in shape, would be lower than it is today.
Senator Alexander is right. I think we see from what is happening to gasoline prices right now in our country why we need not to retreat in any way from more production from our own natural resources in diversified parts of our country so that we will not have a crisis in one part of our country, the Gulf of Mexico, and see the prices go up. Today, almost all of the refineries on the Texas Gulf Coast are completely out of commission. Most of them don't even have power. It is going to take at least another week for them to come online. Add to that, the drilling rigs in the Gulf of Mexico are all offline right now on the Texas Gulf Coast. So we're going to see some shortages right now. If we had other sources of oil and natural gas from other parts of our country, as the Republicans are putting forward, we wouldn't be seeing these spikes. I have just come from Galveston and Houston and the whole area that has been so devastated from this storm. And the damages is going to be enormous. The damage to the navigation equipment, the ports of Galveston and Houston, all throughout the Gulf Coast, will be out of commission for probably a couple of weeks if we're lucky. Then we've got the oil rigs down and the refineries down. Galveston not only doesn't have power, it doesn't have water or sewer either. We've got a lot of issues. I want to say that our Texas delegation has already come together today to start planning for the supplemental that will be needed to help us through this Ike storm. But I think the effect on all of America is the real lesson here, and that is that at this early time, we have not seen any oil spill from the rigs that have been blown around out in the Gulf of Mexico in a Category 3 storm. So we know that you can drill out in the Gulf, out in any waters, and you can do it with environmental integrity. And secondly, if we can do this and look to our own strengths, that we will be able to keep these huge fluctuations from occurring because we're basically beholden to the Gulf of Mexico, which is our largest source of energy right now in our country. It's not the largest reserve. We have reserves in other places that are not being tapped, and the Republican plan would tap those sources while we are doing what our bill on the floor will do for renewables, which is to increase the research and the tax credits on renewables, which we all want to do. But in the interim, we must use our own natural resources to get through this time to save our economy and our national security.